Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so glad you're here with us today because we have a phenomenal guest, Remy. Remy is a true powerhouse of the business world. Not only is she the founder and CEO of Sync & Remy, a premier luxury 3D knitting clothing brand, but she also works as a big data engineer in IT by day and a part-time global SME investor. With her impressive skills in both tech and fashion, Remy is truly a force to be reckoned with. Her dedication to using the latest technology to create stunning and sustainable clothing sets her apart, making Sync and Remy a standout brand in the industry. Meanwhile, her passion for investing and supporting small and medium-sized enterprises worldwide demonstrates her commitment to making a positive impact both within and outside of her own company. Follow Remy on her inspiring journey to success as she seamlessly juggles multiple roles and continues to make her mark on the world of fashion and beyond. And thank you so much, Remy, for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Well, I graduated 2020 from computer science and big data. And then while I was looking for my next role, I thought about, I never really had that in mind that I wanted to be in a corporate world or be an IT profession per se. So when I was looking for the job, I always had in mind that I'm going to do something which is meaningful and something meaningful, not only for me, for the people I'm impacting. But little did I know things would take a turn and like we hit a pandemic and everything changed. So I always wanted to build a clothing line, but I never had any clear vision for it. It was all wishy-washy, a knitwear clothing line of cashmere, but never a definite plan. So I did a lot of research and thinking about it, like what I want and how I want people to feel, because at that point I saw a lot of companies moving towards slow fast fashion, and which is not only good for environment, it's not good for the people working behind the scenes. I mean, I see a lot of people, they get like 2 cents an hour for their work, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I just feel like I don't want to wear clothes of someone's hard work and labor, and they're not even getting credited for that. It's not ethical. And so I always had this in mind, like I wanted to create something ethical, sustainable, and something made in New York, because that's so that people can relate to it more and they can contribute directly towards towards the country. So and being ethical and responsible at the same time, and not making just a bulk and bulk clothes. We don't need more clothes anymore. We just need just the right amount. And then I came up with the idea of Sync & Remy. I was in this phase when I was transitioning from the IT world to becoming a founder and launching my business. So Sync & Remy is, Sync is my brother. And but unfortunately during 2020, like in COVID, I lost my brother. And that took a toll into my mental health and my whole journey of entrepreneur. And it was just a lost cause. Like I didn't know where I was going. So I completely lost track of my vision at that point. So I didn't do anything for almost 2 years. And then 2022, I finally, I finally grab on to my idea of like a clothing brand. And what I thought was, I know he's not gonna come back. Yeah. And keeping that in mind, I wanted to keep him alive in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. if he's not there with me, I can keep his ideas, his knowledge, his charm, you know, his all the things what I've learned from him, and just to give back. And what I really want with this brand is, it's not about creating more clothes. It's about having the clothes which are meaningful. My brother gave me a sweatshirt right before he passed away. It was a cashmere hoodie, and it was just a regular hoodie. It wasn't something fancy, but just that one hoodie that literally gave me a strength to like put my foot in the door. And every time I used to wear that hoodie, I used to feel like he's right here with me. And it's just a sense of comfort and joy you feel with the clothing. You don't really get it, because when you put meaning towards clothes, it really changes all your perspective. It's all about how you feel in your clothes. I mean, I never thought it that way, but it really did change my mind. I came from not getting out of the bed every single morning to launching my own company at some point. It was just putting my foot in the door, one step at a time. You know, one day I'll get up and get a glass of water. The other day I'll go out of the door. The next, I'll be outside talking to people, because a part of, you know, when you're in grief, you isolate yourself with the rest of the world and you don't want to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. You feel no one is gonna understand, and no one really cares. So it's just a lot of self-loathing thoughts and self-deprecating things what I did with myself, because I thought obviously it's guilt, because you always have that, and it's like I wish I could have stopped, you know, wish and a lot of things what could have happened the other way around, but it didn't. Yeah. It took some time for me to accept the fact that he's not here with me anymore.
Yeah.
Because how do you like accept that, like, oh, I'm not gonna listen to him anymore, I'm not gonna see him, touch him, feel him, whatever. So it's that was a really hard time, and so I wanted to give all my energy and learning to create this company where I can keep him alive.
Yeah.
Keep his sense alive.
I so appreciate you sharing that too. And I think, you know, being a former therapist, I know grief can be very messy. It's never one way and it's never goes away. You just learn how to deal with that pain in a different way from before. Each day gets a little bit easier, but the pain never goes away. But I love that you have his memory alive with the company and are being able to really relate to the fact that a piece of clothing, how much meaning it can have, and how that hoodie had so much meaning for you and what you're doing in this world to keep his memory alive, but also giving back in the world. And there's a meaning behind the clothing brand too. It's not just, okay, clothes and we need more clothes, but really the aspect of the quality and what you were saying too, individuals that are working to make clothes in factories or warehouses or companies, whatever it may be, that are not getting paid what they should be getting paid as well, but really pouring it back into the United States, into New York in particular, but being able to have meaning behind a brand. And I love them, just what you've been able to accomplish, and it something that was pain that turned into a purpose. And I think that's so beautiful of being able to continue to keep your brother's memory alive, I just can feel how much you feel for him from what you're saying. Obviously I don't know you as well or your brother, but behind it and how impactful it was for you, and now what you can do and change the world. And when it comes to fashion as well, but what pursued you to in your career and motivated you to pursue a career in tech and fashion? And how do those two intersect the work you do?
Tech is interesting because I was never really interested in tech. It was my mom, to be honest. But I didn't really have a backup plan at that point, and I wanted to do something that I obviously wanted to graduate from college and do something with my life, but I didn't really have any plan or things sorted out what I want to do or where I want to go with my career. So my mom, it was all my mom. She said like tech is really good right now. You should probably consider taking that as an option while you're still wandering around thinking what you want to do. Yeah. So definitely my mom, but I wouldn't say that was the best time. It was really hard. It's not a piece of cake if you don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun when you love what you do, and if you don't like what you do, it's just, you're just dragging every single day. So mm-hmm. Yes, I graduated from tech, and then fashion was always a comfort zone for me. I always used to style like my mom's clothes. My mom had this amazing cashmere, wool, and alpaca overall. So I always used to like play around with her clothes and heels, and with my brother, I'll paint his face and all that sort of stuff. So it was all fun. So fashion was always a way for me to escape from outside noise and be whatever, in whatever mood I am. So the way I dress up is according to my mood, not really according to trend or, you know, the next big it thing. For me, it has to be the way I feel. The way I feel, you can see it on my clothing, because it's all the part of perception. And I mean, if you're not feeling good from the inside, there is no way you can feel good from outside. Like you can do whatever, but there is no freaking way you can feel better. I realized that when I had my first New York Fashion Week, that was 2 weeks ago. It was really fun. I got to showcase my collection the first time in the Fashion Week. So that was a really good, like that was a really good feeling. But when I was walking down for my final walk, I thought that would be the best feeling in the world. But to be really honest, I felt nothing. Mm. I felt completely blank. It was everything I wanted. There were a lot of people there. They came after the show to me. They were talking to me about how great the collection was, like how they liked pieces and all different silhouette. But at the same time, I wasn't there. I was waiting for this day for such a long time.
Yeah.
And when it came, I felt nothing. Mm-hmm. I might have felt good for like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But was it worth the time and the pain and the suffering? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's the time I realized that I really need to work on my inner self first, in order to succeed in whatever career or whatever career I'm pursuing in life. But I really need to work on my inner self first. That's when I realized, because if you're not feeling good from inside, whatever you do, it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, one of the main priorities for me is putting myself at the top of the priority list. And because I was always at the bottom and I felt like doing these things would make me feel good. And I'm sure people listening as well can really resonate with what you're saying. And I love that you had the awareness to be like, hey, I need to take care of the inside out, inside first, and then the outside. But what do you do to prioritize yourself? Like, what are some things that really help you from the inside out to feel good and prioritize your overall well-being?
I take some time off. I feel sometimes I feel like I'm running with the feet alive.
Yeah.
So I have this rule, like on Sunday, that I wouldn't work. I don't care how, if it's the deadline is midnight or the other day or when whatnot, I don't work on Sundays. I just take some time to veg out and just be with, journal my thoughts or read a book or play chess, and just like take care of myself. Because when you're constantly working and, you know, going towards a goal and everything, that's all cool and fun.
Yeah.
What you achieve. But you really need some time to reflect back on like what you have accomplished so far and where you want to go. And am I doing everything in my capacity to reach where I want to be, or am I happy? So that was something I really, really discovered recently. Like, am I happy?
Yeah.
Or am I just trying to survive? Because I was just trying to survive for a very long time. And then being happy is really hard. So that's what a lot of people don't understand, that it's not, when people say, oh, it's not up to us, it's always up to us. Like, if you want to be happy, you can. It's in your hands. That's the thing. But It's just hard to be consistent. It's just hard to be in a place where you can say that I'm happy, I'm doing good, I'm doing great. But what I do is I journal, I meditate, I do some cold plunges, I go for the run, or just be outside in nature. So that really helps to clear out all the external noise.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. When I moved to Colorado, I was like, I just need to be in the sunshine, in the mountains. And I didn't realize how cold it gets here. But I know you're in New York too, and it gets very cold there as well. But I think being able to have that nature now that it's a little bit warmer, really focusing in on that piece of happiness, I think what you said is so valuable and important. It is a choice. We have that choice and we can do little things. We're not going to be happy all the time. And that's part of being human, but also there's a lot of struggles in the success there. It's not an overnight success. It takes time. It takes time to build something great, but we also have to be building from the inside out too. And making it a mission that we have behind the business, but also what are some of the challenges that you have faced in building your businesses?
Oh boy.
Just one or two. I know I've had like a million, but maybe you only had one. Well,
consistency. That's hard. When you start, it's all fun and games and you're excited and you want to be a self-made founder and you want to create something exciting. It's really exciting when you start. And then, you know, obviously the spark of getting started something fades away with time. It's not going to be the same. But being consistent with and always going back to your vision, like why you started this company or why you're doing what you're doing is what I always go back to and like remind myself, like, this is the reason I founded this company. And because it's hard sometimes, you get this feeling like, I don't want to do it anymore. It's just really, really hard to be consistent. And and when you're on your own, like starting on, it does get really lonely, even if you're with a lot of people. people often confuse loneliness with being alone, but that's completely different. You can be with a million people and still feel lonely. So what that one was a bit for me, because none of the people around me, they're not founders, and they're not creating companies, they're not entrepreneurs. And I'm okay with that, because I love what they are and how they are. I'm not trying to change them, but it's just, you know, sometimes you feel that, I just wish, you know, I wasn't alone in this journey. So what I do is I talk to other founders, or, you know, like meet people and do networking so that you don't really feel lonely in your journey, because it does get lonely if you're on your own and you're just starting. So yeah, that one was a big one for me.
Yes. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I appreciate your transparency of how it can be really lonely. You are surrounded by people, but you can still be lonely. I think that's a key aspect as well of understanding too. Not everyone's going to understand it. They want to be there and support you in the best way they can. But at the same time too, I think it's important to also have those individuals that you can reach out to that are in similar industries, so it doesn't feel as lonely, because it can be, especially in the beginning when you're learning all the ins and outs, and how that can be really challenging, because you don't realize it until you're in it. At least that's been my experience. I don't know if you felt the same in your experience, but I think it can be really challenging. But knowing there's so many people and so many facets that we can reach out to, being online more so, there's more opportunity for that. But having the supportive people in our lives, even if they're not in the industry, they can still support us from in the way that they can. And I think that's important to recognize too. And I know you do a lot of different things. I know you're an investor. I know you're in a big data engineer as well. But how do you balance your roles as a founder and having all these multiple plates that you're juggling?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it all depends on the mood. Some days I feel I want to be all in being a founder. And some days I feel like, maybe I'm going a little too hard. I need to step back. Yeah. So I mean, for my day job, obviously I don't have a choice. I work every day as an engineer, so that's one part of it, because I am, that's my job. And the other piece is being a founder and investor is something I'm not currently pursuing actively. I did in past, but right now I'm all in my clothing brand, so that's what I'm doing currently, because it's just, I tried multitasking. It didn't work. It didn't work for me. I also have ADD. So for me to focus on one thing is really hard. Like I can't, even if I'm talking to you right now, if a bird comes in right through my window, I'll be like, oh my God, I'll be lost. So what I do is I recently discovered that no one is good at multitasking. Like you can never be good at your craft if your mind is wandering around a bunch of different million things. So I started to compartmentalize my time with my job and being a founder. So I work during the day, and simultaneously I also work with for my brand. So yeah, that's what I do.
No, I think that's important to share, because it is really hard to multitask. We can't really have our focus in 10 different places, because it's not going to allow our creativity to flow, especially if we're creating what even if it's a product or a service, being able to understand too, when we have less on our plate, we have more opportunity to grow those things that are on our plate. And that's what I'm hearing from you. And I think that's beautiful that you're able to recognize, okay, this is my zone of genius. I have my day job, but I'm also a founder and have an amazing thing I'm growing at the same time. And that's a lot in itself, just being able to juggle two things, like let alone life too, on top of that, and making sure we're taking care of ourselves. And how do you prioritize and manage everything? I know you said you have your day job, but you also are working on things simultaneously. What has been really beneficial for you? What are some of like the tactics that help you in that process?
Writing your tasks, like setting the intention for the day. That was a big one for me, because I never used to do that before. I always used to think that I'll just go by with my feeling, like however I'm feeling today. But really setting up your intention for the day, like what you want to accomplish today, not tomorrow or not like a week from now.
Right.
That was a game changer, because I can be like, oh, I'm done with my task. So it's like, it's really good to see when you say something that that's what you're going to do and you actually do it. Yeah. It's a very good feeling. That's what I start my day with. But it's not every single day I feel motivated to, you know, go to gym or take a cold plunge or go for a run. I don't feel that every single day. Some days are just sloppy. I don't even feel like waking up from the bed. It's just, but what changed is I have accepted the fact that it's okay. Some days are going to be the days where I don't feel like doing anything, but that's okay. As long as I'm happy and content with what I'm doing, it doesn't really matter it doesn't have to be every day productive. I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyone out there is like working every single day with the same zeal and energy. No, it just doesn't work that way. Some days, I go to gym, but some days I feel like I don't want to lift weights because it's just, I don't want to do it. So I'll just go there and do some cardio or probably just come back in 30 minutes. I wouldn't be there for a longer time. But just accepting the fact that it's okay to not be overly productive or sort of like going into the hustle culture sort of thing. It's okay. It's okay. Completely okay to be not do anything for some days. So yeah, that's what I've accepted now.
And I think that's important. And I just want to touch on the fact, like what I was hearing is just giving ourselves permission and compassion to take time for ourselves, knowing that we're not going to always be productive every single day. Because I used to be like that, and I don't know how I did it, but I wasn't like happy. I wasn't doing the things I needed to do. My creativity wasn't flowing. And I hear that from so many other entrepreneurs as well. It's you need at least a day or a few hours a day to recompose yourself, and knowing like you don't have to be okay scheduled to a T. You can schedule like flexibility and room for like fun and doing those things. I get that. But I think it's, to your point, really important that we give ourselves grace and compassion in this process, because it's a marathon, not a sprint. And that's what I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you, and to be honest, like if you always need to have some time to veg out, even if you have working 20 hours a day, you really need some time to veg out, because it's a machine. Your mind is a machine. You can't always expect have it running perfectly smooth and giving you the best ideas if you're not taking some time to reflect back on. You really need that. So
absolutely couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to share some insights on how you incorporate the latest technology into your 3D knitting clothing brand to create stunning and sustainable designs.
So we have partnered with this company in Brooklyn. They have the 3D knitting factory. So basically, if you've heard about 3D printing, it's 3D printing for clothes.
Yeah.
We don't do the traditional cut. And what we do is we have this computer graphic design. We put the design in the machine. And we have different yarns and for each silhouette, and then the design goes into the machine, and the product and whatever, let's say cashmere sweater. If we put the design in the machine, it comes out exactly how it is with the drawstrings. So there is no cutting required after. The product is made, and it uses all the yarns and all the fabrics. So there is no additional leftover like pieces. And we only make our product on demand basis. We don't keep a bulk inventory. So if someone places an order on our website, we request that from our factory to create that product. But it's very seamless. You just, so like you place an order, we already have the design in our machine. The machine creates the product and it just gets delivered. And then everything else, the washing and the pressing, that is taken care of, like the quality check from our team. So when they're making a product, each and every product goes through like 5 different stages, from starting from doing the design and then going to the factory and going to the machine, after that stitching and seeing if there is a couple of leftovers, and then a quality check, and then washing, and then pressing. So basically it takes almost a day or something, and probably 3 days after that we ship out the product. So in 3 days, yes.
Oh wow, that's so cool. Because I'm like very unfamiliar with this world, but I think it's so fascinating too. And how did you even come about finding the manufacturer to or factory that does do the 5 steps for the clothing?
Well, when I was starting the company, I always wanted someone in the local New York area, because I don't like the fact that people that I don't like the fact that I'm working with someone who is paying less than minimum wage, and they're exploiting people, and they're working like 24 hours, and they're getting paid like two cents a dollar an hour. So, and I'm not even sure like what they're doing. I wanted to see my product, like what the thing in hand, and I don't want to wait for it for like 2 months and whatnot. So having a local manufacturer was the priority. And then while doing my research, I found out about this amazing 3D knitting technology where we don't have to store the inventory and we can create product on demand basis. So that was the game changer, because storing the inventory alone is like 92 million tons of clothes going to landfill. And it's just a lot. And the fashion industry being the second largest reason for the global warming, I just don't want to contribute more towards that. So it's just, that was always the backbone of the company, that we need to work with a manufacturer who understands like what our ethical reason and sustainability part of it. And we have actually recently partnered with this company called Ocean Bottle. Hmm. So they collect plastics from the ocean for every sale that we make from our from Sink and Remy, and that goes directly to the people working in collecting the ocean. And they pay almost 700 times more than what they get in their respective countries, and that is going to take care of their entire family and the people working over there. So I'm really excited for this partnership, and we just partnered with them in the World Ocean Day, which is today.
Timing's everything.
So, yeah. So that was really exciting, because you got to see, and they're really good at showing the impact what we are creating. So you can literally see that, where your impact is going and how many people you impacted. So it was really a good partnership.
I love that. And I love the research you did too, to find the 3D knitting, because I had never heard of it before we were introduced. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting, because it's something that's actually saving the world, but also the partnerships that you are creating to really give back to the communities, give back to reducing global warming as well, and not you're a solution to it versus a problem to it, you know? And I think that's the beautiful aspect of it, and just really helping in the fashion industry, because you're right, so many clothes go unworn or just worn one time and thrown out and not reused, and being able to create something that's very conscious of that. And I think that's so rewarding, I'm sure, too. But I would love to know just one or two success stories or a memorable moment from your journey in being able to create this brand and how it's a shaped your approach and outlook on everything.
Okay, so the first one would be getting my brand out in New York Fashion Week.
Yeah.
that was really, to be honest, I wasn't even expecting that, because it was already late for the show and I was invited to attend the event, not to showcase my brand. Mm-hmm. And but I got this amazing opportunity, and I had to basically get all the things done in 3 days, make the entire collection and talk to factory and get all the right people in under one roof in 3 days. So that was something I'm really proud of, because I didn't know I could do it before that. And so yeah, that really was something to me, because I always thought like, oh yeah, one day I want to do New York Fashion Week, but I never had that in mind that, oh, it's going to be this week. So that was, and the other thing is the partnership with the Ocean Bottle, because, you know, like the thing which aligned with our, like between Ocean Bottle and Think and Remy is they believe in giving the fair wage to people who are working for them, and giving back and reflecting to the community to which they're working on is really important as a fundament for Think and Remy. So when we got this amazing opportunity to partner with these amazing people, that was a really synchronicity moment, like when you get everything at the right place at the right time. So
it's amazing. And I just love that those are two like major things that have recently happened as well. And how did you even go about getting that partnership in particular? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? What did that look like for, because I think there's a lot of people that love collaborating and just knowing how to go about that or what that looks like.
They did reach out to me, and I think when you're looking for partnership or having the right people to work with you, you gotta be really intentional of who you want to work with, because there are a lot of people out there whom you can partner. And the other thing would be doing your research, like what do you want in your what do you want your brand to stand for? So that's the other thing, because I can partner with a bunch of different people, but if it's not aligned with the brand, it's off, you know? Like it's, people don't understand like why it's like I'm not gonna partner with like the water company, or I don't know, like with someone else, like who's not directly aligned to my vision. So when someone is partnering with someone, you need to like really drill down on their vision. And if you both have the same mindset towards where you're going, if you're not going to the same path, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out right now. So how's it going to work out in future? Really like screening down like a lot of people and, you know, being really intentional of whom you want to work with. And sometimes having a vision board helped. Well,
yes.
Just keeping all your thoughts out there and like looking at it, and probably it just clear. It's not like always, just wishful thinking, but really being intentional of what I want and who I want to work with is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so key. And it just, you really touched on the aspect of the alignment, being able to know it's aligned with your values of the business, but also personally too, because that is going to impact a partnership if it isn't aligned. If, like, just what you're saying, the water company, it might not really be the best fit based off just what you were saying too, and understanding at the end of the day, it's when it feels aligned, so many beautiful things come about when it feels like it, and it is aligned, I should say, but being able to understand that too. So I'm just curious, because I know you have worked in multiple industries as well, but what advice would you give aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to excel and make an impact, a significant impact in their prospective industries, just like you're making an impact in the fashion world?
Have a clarity, like be really clear of your goal, and you should always know like why you're doing what you're doing, because if that's not clear, everything after that, it'll get messed up, and when you it'll get messed up, and you really need to be clear on your intention and being really thoughtful of why you're doing what you're doing is what I would say everyone should have, because that's just where you should start. If you don't have that, I don't think it's worth your time or anyone's time.
Time is a very valuable thing and we never get it back. So it is important to focus on what is going to light us up, and that is making an impact where we want it to, of course. And just with everything that you have been able to build, I'm really curious, what have been some of the tools that you've used in order to build your brand and everything? I know you have the manufacturing, but anything on the back end that would be helpful for other entrepreneurs listening?
The tool would be, I mean, right now, AI is a big thing. So using ChatGPT for the administrative work would really help. Monday to keep all my tasks aligned, and Spark is a good email tool because it really helps in organizing your emails with respect to just the spam and the email you want to focus on. And the other tool is that's apart from business is audiobooks. I have ADD, so it's just hard for me to read a book for and focus on it. So yeah, audiobooks are a game changer. They really help you and accomplish tasks at a much faster rate, and you can speed up in that, and you can, it's really good. It's a really good tool. Speechify, there are a lot of tools out there. I think AI is taking over most of the tools, whatever we use. So using AI for your business would be a game changer if you really know how to do it. Yeah, that would cut down a lot of your time of thinking of the task you don't want to do. And it would really help. And other than that, when you're hiring new people, like when starting out and you're short on budget or you're really tight. So hiring people at Upwork might help. Mm-hmm. Upwork, Fiverr, that might help for the VA or the task, or, you know, just it's a bunch of tasks which you don't want to do and you don't like doing.
Makes life so much easier. I can definitely attest to that. And just even with your journey, I'm really curious, what outside of the clarity and just being really focused on what you're trying to accomplish, what are some of the tips or lessons that you've learned in this journey that could be really useful for other individuals listening?
Not taking myself so seriously. I think I always used to take myself so seriously, and that it really took toll into my mental health. I mean, it's going to be really hard starting your business and being in this entrepreneurial journey. It's not going to be easy, that's for sure. Everyone know that, you know that too. But taking some time off and not taking everything so seriously is really something I learned recently, because I worked for 3 years straight. I have never taken a single day off. And then when I look back at it, it's just, I know I that did really help me in accomplishing a lot of things, but was it worth it? The entirely of it, like giving time to people you love and spending time with them, and is really important, because time is running, you don't get your time back, and this journey is really lonely and isolating at some time. But you do have, you need to realize that there are people who love you and would do anything to be with you. There's if you have at least one person, yeah, you're really lucky.
Yeah,
so just realizing on that, that changed me a little bit, because I forgot that it's not always about the career or being and always on the top.
Yeah, we gotta be human too and be able to get our needs met. And you're right, it's just, if you could have at least one other person in your life that you can lean on, it, you are very lucky. And I think that's an important aspect too, because it is a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. You can lean on that support, and
yeah, time doesn't have to be a suffering. Right. I mean, it is going to be a long, long journey.
True. But
it can be fun too. You can make it fun.
As it should be, right? It needs a balance. Yeah. You know, there's great times and there's times you're just like, I need to get through the mud.
Yeah. And there are people who will be happy to be with you. If you are in the mud, they'll be with you in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And just learn how to appreciate those people, because I wasn't really good at that. And I realized that I've been a jerk to a lot of people. Because I was only thinking about like my goals and my whatever I'm doing is important, and it's nothing else really matters. So yeah, just being aware of people who love you regardless of what you have achieved, and just giving them your love back is really important, because yeah, the time, you know, you don't really get a lot of time with people you think you have. I don't think so.
Yeah,
you always think that, oh, we have a lot of time with especially with our parents. So I don't think so. You do. Spending a lot of time with family is essential. Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. I do think there's so much value in our relationships, and I think it's the foundation. First our health, and then relationships, and then everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really curious too, because I know you've created an amazing brand and everything that you're up to. What are your future goals and aspirations for the brand moving forward?
Right now we are only D2C. So at some point, maybe a year from now, we are thinking of launching our first store in New York. So that would be the next big step for the brand.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it come to fruition as well. I'll definitely have to see it when I come visit. But where can people find your products, everything else? I know you said it's in New York, but if you could let us know where, and then we'll link it below.
Okay. So it's, you can go to thinkrimi.com. That's the website. That's where you can go and look at our clothes. And you can see our Instagram, where we constantly update our newest collection and pieces and our collaboration. So you can follow Sink and Remy Instagram as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your beautiful light with us, and just everything that you're up to, and absolutely your transparency of the journey, how it isn't just rainbows and sunshine and everything along those lines, but really how it does take work, but it's worth it if you have a mission behind it and you're really passionate about what you're doing. And you definitely are. I can see it. You beam when you talked about it. But thank you again for just coming on and sharing your light with us.
For having me.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Remy today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment. And we'll see you on the next episode.